All right, you can open your Bibles tonight to Joshua chapter 1. This has become one of my favorite chapters in the Bible for one reason, because it is probably the main passage that God used to speak to my heart and to show me that Mongolia was the place that he wanted me to go and that the people that he wanted me to take the gospel to. So it's very special to me for that reason. And I also like it because it's just full of the commands of God and the promises of God that are the basis of our faith. And they challenge Joshua's faith, as we'll read here in the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1. So let's read through that. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest observe, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I like the song that we sang tonight about where he leads, I'll follow. Because that's what I'd like to challenge you about tonight, about following God in whatever his calling for your life is. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll look into the Bible. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we're able to gather together tonight as your people in your house. And we thank you so much that we have your word. We thank you for the privilege that it is to live in America and be so free to meet together, and that we have your word, and it's easy to get. And Lord, I pray that you would now bless this time as we look into your word. I pray that your spirit would be upon me, that I might preach in your power and speak your words. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would also be upon the hearts of these people as they listen. And God, I pray that if there's some in here tonight that you would have to make a decision, that you would make that plain to them and help them to follow you, Lord, and to believe and to do what you would have them to do. So we just ask for your blessing now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to challenge you tonight concerning the call of God, the call of God upon your life. We know that God wants to send forth laborers into his harvest. In Matthew chapter 9, we read about that, and we read not only about his desire to send laborers, but his desire for us to be active in that, to have a part in that. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, we read, Then said he unto his disciples, Jesus speaking, of course, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So God desires to send out people to serve him out into his harvest. And he desires us to have a part in that, to pray that God would do that. And I'd like to stir you up a little bit tonight concerning having a vision for this call of God and for this desire that God has to send people out into his harvest. And I believe the vision applies to everybody in here. from the older people right down to the kids. And, you know, for the older people, I don't imagine that God would call a person that's 70 years old, say, to go to Mongolia and preach the gospel, even though he called Moses when he was 80. But Moses lived to be 120 years old, too, so there's a little difference there. But I believe that it's necessary for the older people to get a vision concerning this call of God. Because even if you don't go, you can pray for those of us that are going. We need that. We need your prayers. And not only that, but you can give so that those of us that God calls can go. And I believe that you need to be stirred up to pray more and to give more so that the work can go on. And I think of the people that are raising a family, whether it's young kids or whether it's teenagers, the vision is for you also. It's not too late for God to call you to go and take the gospel to the people in other parts of the world that haven't had the chance to hear. I know of people that have had a family and been established in a career, had teenage kids, and God has called them to leave all that and to go into a foreign country and preach the gospel. It's not too late for that. And so I'd like to challenge you concerning having a vision for this call of God. And for the young people, I think I'm excited to be able to preach to young people that are at that time in their life when they're making some important decisions, decisions on what direction they're going to go and what they're going to do with their life. I like to preach to you people and challenge you concerning a call of God and what God would have you to do with your life. One thing that made a deep impression upon me, and I believe God used it to keep me in line and bring me into his will, was a song that we used to sing in Sunday school. The chorus of it went, I'm just a child, my life is still before me, but I just can't wait to see what God has for me. But I know that I will trust in him and wait to see what life will be for me. And God has a will for you, young people. God has something that he wants you to do with your life. And I'd like to challenge you tonight concerning whether or not you're looking for that and whether you've given your life to finding what his will for you is. It's exciting. It's exciting to think about living a life for God. You know, it's fun to read about missionaries that have gone before us and the things that they've done and the great things that God has done before with them, and to think that God wants to do the same things today through us. That's exciting. Now, one thing I want us to notice here, because oftentimes there's a fear that people have of the will of God and what God is going to call us to do. And a lot of people, I think a lot of mothers probably more than anything, are scared of where their kids are going to be called to. They don't want them to go to Africa where they're going to get eaten by a snake or something. But, you know, that's not a good way to look at it. And we need to look at something right here in these verses. God says that we're to pray that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Okay, now there's a lot of farming that goes on around here, and y'all should understand that a farmer harvests his own crops. Okay, you know, a farmer doesn't go into somebody else's field and take their crops and take them into his barns and sell them. A farmer harvests his own crops. He farms at home, so to speak, in his own fields. Well, so does God. But God's field is the whole earth. And the whole earth is the Lord's. And the whole earth is where the harvest is. And so what I'm saying is, we're going to be no farther from home in Mongolia than you people are going to be right here. And if we have the mindset that we have to leave home to go to the mission field, then our heart's in the wrong place. You know that? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. And our heart needs to be in heaven with God. We need to be looking for Christ to return and for him to take us to heaven to be with him. Now that's the example of the patriarchs. And I just like to challenge parents concerning this and what kind of a vision you're giving your kids about life, what life is about, and where home is and where your heart ought to be. In Hebrews chapter 11, In verse 13, we read this: "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Is that your heart today? Is that your attitude? Do you consider yourself a stranger and a pilgrim on earth? And have you embraced by faith the promises of God and a home in heaven that He's promised to us? Listen to what the statement that the patriarchs made in verse 14: "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." And we go on to read that this country is the city that God prepared for them. They declared plainly by their actions, and I'm sure by their words and by their life, that they sought a country that wasn't here on earth. And that's what every one of us need to be. That's the way we need to look at it. And so we need to have a vision concerning this call of God. But I'd like to look for a little bit tonight in Joshua chapter 1 and find out just a few things about this call of God and how it works. The first thing I want to notice from this passage is in verse 2. The first five words, they say, "Moses, my servant, is dead." All right, now we got to look a little bit at the history here and what the situation is. The children of Israel at this time are camped in the wilderness. They're on the east side of the Jordan River. And they've been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they've come up to the Jordan and they're about to go into the Promised Land. And all this time that they've been wandering around in the wilderness for the last 40 years, they've been under the leadership of Moses. And Moses was the great man of God that had brought them out of Egypt and that God had done great miracles through. As a matter of fact, in verse 10 of Deuteronomy 34, we read some things about Moses and how revered that he was. And in verse 10 it says, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel." God did many miracles through Moses, and there hadn't been a man of God like Moses. And he was the great man of God that had led them out of Egypt and was going to take them into the Promised Land. Yes. But we have to notice something here. The promise that God had given to Israel was of a land, okay, the land of Canaan. And the work that God called Moses to do was to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt into Canaan. But Moses now is dead. And the greatest part of that work hadn't been accomplished. They weren't in the land yet. So the work of God was yet to be done. But the man of God was dead. And in the same way today, there's great men of God that we look up to. We read about them in books, and we read their life stories. You know, men such as David Livingston and Hudson Taylor, Adoniram Judson, all these famous missionaries that we read about and the great things that God did through them. You know, the same thing is true of those men. They're dead.
Yes, they are.
They're gone. And what I want us to see tonight, what I want us to feel, is the responsibility to carry on the work of God.
Goodness.
The work of God isn't done. It goes on, and the responsibility has fallen into our hands.
Sure.
And I would say in the same way that the greatest work was yet to be done in Joshua's time, the greatest work is yet to be done in our time too. I don't mean that it's any better in the quality of it. It's the same work that they were doing, but it's greater in the quantity. You know, there's more people on the earth today than there was in Adoniram Judson's time. And not only that, but there's whole countries that have opened up today that weren't open in that time. Mongolia is one of them. For hundreds of years, Mongolia was closed off from the rest of the world, and nobody could go in there, and they couldn't come out. It's put them way behind. They're way behind the times over there because they haven't had the interaction with the rest of the world that other countries have had. But now, here's 2.5 million people that are able to be reached with the gospel. There's a greater work to be done today than there was then. And not only Mongolia, but man, Russia is open, and all those countries that were part of the Soviet Union, the opportunities are great today. And these great men of God are gone, and it's up to us. It's in our hands to carry on the work. And God called Joshua to take over and to do this great work that was yet to be done. And God desires to call from among us some men and some women to go out and do the work of God that is yet to be done.
Sure.
So we today need to feel the responsibility. It's up to us to get the job done. So, though Moses, the man of God, is dead, the work of God continues, and it's up to us to carry it on. Now, we can see some things about Joshua and find out who it is that God calls. What kind of a man is God looking for to call to go out and preach the gospel? In verse 1, we read something about Joshua. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister." Okay, Joshua is called Moses' minister. And if you look in the Bible before this time, every time that you see Joshua, with the exception of one time when he was one of the spies that went into the land, you read about Joshua following along with Moses and helping him out. And you read about Joshua serving in the tabernacle night and day. It says he was there all the time, busy in the tabernacle. Joshua was a minister. He was a servant. And that's the kind of person that God's looking for, a servant. And a servant doesn't have his own mind. All right? Not that he can't think or make decisions, but what I'm saying is he doesn't go about his own business. He goes about to carry out the business of his master.
Yes.
And what is going to benefit the cause of my master? Because that's the business that he's there to carry out. And that's what a servant does.
Yes.
A servant serves his master and not himself. And that's the kind of person that God is looking for. Okay? And he's not looking for a big shot. Okay? That is so prevalent in America today. Especially among the young people. Man, it's just, we want people to think, to look at us and think that we're something. You know, we want people to look at us and the young people especially, we want to be cool. You know, we want to be accepted. And people of all ages are like that. You know, we want people to think well of us. But that's not the kind of person that God is looking for, because that's the first person whose heart is full of pride. Okay, they're looking to lift themselves up and get some recognition. But the thing about a big shot is that usually a big shot is just full of hot air. You know, he's not the person that's willing to go out and get his hands dirty and get the job done. Okay, he's a person that just wants to look like something and not be something, not be the person that gets it done. I'm reminded of a situation that I was in one time. I used to work out west on some ranches, and these ranches would raise horses to use, you know, that the cowboys would ride to work the cattle. And there was one ranch that had a bunch of horses that were Mustangs, and they were hard to gather. They couldn't get them into the corral. And so they decided the only way to do it was to get a bunch of guys together and go out and just run and rope them. And so they gathered the crews from three or four different ranches, and we all got together. 18 or 20 of us were there. And if you've ever looked at pictures of cowboys or know anything about them, you'll see that a lot of them, they like to dress up pretty fancy. They like to have silver-mounted bits and spurs and big hats and fancy vests and wrist cuffs and all these things that are practical, but they just look good. They like to look like something. But that day, as we were gathered there, there was those kind of guys. But there was one guy in particular who wasn't like that. You know, he just a plain old guy, just wore out old clothes and chaps and no fancy gear, just the basic stuff. But that day, as we went out to gather those horses, there was five horses caught out of 18 or 20 guys, five of them caught. And this one guy caught three of them himself. Okay, he wasn't worried about what people thought of him. He didn't care about being fancy, but man, when it came to getting the job done, he was a guy. He went out and did it. And that's the kind of people that we need to be. Not so worried about what other people are thinking when they look at us, but worried about what we're getting done for God. That's the kind of people God's looking for, not a big shot. And God's not looking for somebody either that's looking to just work his way up the ladder. Okay, Joshua served for all those years. He was just content to just be following Moses along. And he was content to be just serving in the tabernacle. And just something else to note here about who your heroes are. You know, especially the young people, who do you look up to? Who would you want to be around? Joshua wanted to be around the man of God. And unfortunately, I think too many young people have the wrong heroes today. Man, you're looking at sports figures and actors and people that the world looks up to. Man, we don't look for the same things that the world looks for. We ought to be, to want to be around and to want to be close to men of God, that what they know we can learn, and what they are might rub off on us and have a good influence on us. So God's not looking for somebody that's looking to work his way up the ladder. And in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus again talks about this, how we're supposed to be. In Matthew 20 and verse 25, "But Jesus called him unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." That same word again, your minister. "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." You know, Jesus didn't come down here to earth because he needed something from us. Okay, he was God in heaven, and he didn't need us to exist. He existed of his own self and in his own power. But Jesus came down to earth to live his life and to be abused of men and to be crucified for our benefit, for us, so that we could live, so we could have our sins forgiven and have a place in heaven with him. Jesus, he's our example of what a minister is. And we need to have that same mindset, not trying to work our way up the ladder, no matter who we step on or no matter who we who loses out so that we can gain. We're not to be that way. We're to live our lives to benefit other people, to bring the gospel to lost people. So God's not looking for somebody that's wanting to just work his way up the ladder and get his own gain. God's looking for somebody that's active right where he's at. And Joshua was active. We read about him serving in the tabernacle day and night. And God today is looking for people that are active where they're at. And you know, where you're at is right here in your local church. Okay, that's where you need to be active. That's where you need to be serving God every day. And that's the kind of person that God is looking for. We see this again. The first missionary that God called to go out and take the gospel to people outside of his own country is Paul. And in Acts chapter 13, we read about the call that Paul received from God to go to the mission field. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Okay, so Paul and Barnabas, where were they at? They were right there in their local church, the church at Antioch, and they were serving. They were both just busy serving. They were active right there in their local church, and God called them to go and take the gospel to the people of other lands. And so we see that God is looking for a minister. He's looking, not looking for a big shot. He's not looking for somebody looking to work his way up the ladder. He's looking for somebody that's active, serving right where he's at in his local church. Because that's what God has set up today for us to serve him in. So we need to be faithful and active in our local church. And that way God will be available to God to call us if he has for us to go someplace else and serve him there. So we've seen that though Moses my servant is dead, the work of God goes on. And it's our responsibility today. It's up to us to carry on the work. And we've seen that God is looking for a minister. He's looking for a servant to call in to take his word to people that haven't heard. And another thing that we need to notice is that the call comes from God. Okay, one thing that we see here is what's happening here is that the leader of a nation has died. And throughout history, when you look at history, when the leader of a nation dies, more times than not, there was a struggle then for power between other people that desired to take control of the nation. But we don't see that happen here with Israel. There's two men that if anybody would have had a right to take control and be the leader, these two men would have been it. Joshua was one of them and Caleb was the other one. They had been among the 12 spies that had gone into the land 40 years ago and had brought back the report. And Joshua and Caleb had been the faithful ones. They'd been the ones that had faith in God and came out and said, "Man, it's a good land. Yeah, there's giants in there and the cities are strong, but God will give it to us. Let's go and take it." They had been the ones that had been faithful. And then they had continued to be faithful all through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They were the only two that were still alive of the people that had been adults at that time. And they'd come through, and if anybody would have had a right to claim the authority or to claim to be able to take that position, it would have been one of those two. But we don't see here a struggle for power between Joshua and Caleb. We don't see it. And I think the reason is because both of them recognized the call of God, that God would put the man in that place that he wanted to. And we don't see that struggle because God had already called his man. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, we read about that. In verse 23, after God had spoken to Moses many things, in verse 23, the Bible says, "And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge, and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee." So God had already called Joshua into that position, and they recognized that. And the people recognized that, and they honored Joshua as they had honored Moses, as the Bible tells us. And we know we have another example in the Bible in this same time period of a people that didn't recognize the call of God. In Numbers chapter 12, we read about Miriam and Aaron. And in Numbers chapter 12, the Bible records this for us. It says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." And then we read about the difference between Miriam and Aaron and Moses. In verse 3, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out." And then we read on about how God judged between Moses and Miriam and Aaron. "And he even told them, Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" These people didn't know their place. They thought that they could exalt themselves to the position of leadership when God had not called them. They didn't have a right heart. Okay, they were seeking their own gain. And what God wants is men and women with a right heart that are not lifted up in pride, that are not seeking to gain their own benefit, but men and women that are given over to serving God and understand how God works and want to be serving God and want to be involved in God's program. And unfortunately, there are false workers out there. There are men that have put themselves in places that God has not put them in, and it has bad results. When I was in Mongolia, there was a young man that interpreted for me, and being as he could speak English, I was able to speak with him, and I was able to try to witness to him. And he told me this. He said that he had two friends, and they both said that they were Christians. And he said, "I don't understand, though, because though both my friends say they're Christians and they both say they believe in the Bible, they tell me two different things, and I don't understand how that can be." So these false workers that have gone in and not given God's message and not been placed there by God, they're creating confusion. There's confusion already in Mongolia. And that broke my heart to hear him say that. And that just gave me a great desire to go over there and establish a church and establish a training facility to teach them and to bring them up in the ways of the Lord so that they can go out and do a good work among their own people. So the need is there. God needs people with a right heart that are willing to make themselves available. And though we can't call ourselves into a place of service like that, it is good for us to make ourselves available to God and to seek His will for our lives and a calling from God. Isaiah was that way. Isaiah desired to be used by God and to go where God wanted him to go and do what he wanted him to do. In Isaiah chapter 6, we read about this. We read about Isaiah, a man that got a right heart and then was able to hear God's voice and answer his call. In verse 5, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah was humbled when he saw himself in his sinful condition before God. And he was broken. He wasn't a man lifted up in pride that was seeking his own gain. He said, "Woe is me." He desired just mercy from God, and he got it. He says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." When Isaiah humbled himself before God and confessed his sin, God forgave his sins. And then Isaiah had a right relationship with God. He was right with God. And then look what happened. "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." When Isaiah got right with God, he was able to hear God's voice. And he made himself available to God's call. He desired to be called by God. And in the same way, we ought to be available. We ought to make ourselves available and desire that God would use us for his purpose. Now we need to realize that God's way is through men. Okay, God has given out the gospel, but it's through us that he's going to take it to all the people of the world. Okay, in Romans 10, we read about that, how God has ordained that he's going to do his work. Of course, Romans 10:13. The invitation is given to all the world. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, God has given us the gospel. He has made salvation available to the whole world. And then he says, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" So God has he has ordained that he is going to send men to take the gospel to people. He's going to work through us. That's how he wants to do his work. And that's exciting in itself, that God wants to work through me. He wants to accomplish his purpose through me. And we need to make ourselves available for God to do that. Now, one thing we have to realize, though, is we can't, if we've not been called by God to be a missionary or to be a preacher, we can't confuse God's call with God's command. Okay, God calls whom he will, but he's given every man a command. He's given all of us the same command, and we all know it. But in Acts chapter 8, we read about it, how the command that God has given to every Christian. And he says in Acts 1:8, he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world, of the earth." That is the command of God, and it's given to all of us. All of us have the same command. And, you know, when we go to Mongolia, we're going to be doing the same thing that you all are doing here. Our work won't be any different. We'll just be in a different place. But God has given to every one of us the command to be witnesses unto him. And so every one of us needs to be busy about that command and doing what God has commanded us to do. Every one of us needs to be busy with that. Now, the question tonight is, are you a candidate for God's call? Are you carrying out the commands of God today? Are you busy right here in your local church? Are you serving God now? And have you made yourself available to him? That's the question. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't like to be the person that's standing around watching when there's work being done or when there's something going on, when there's a game being played. It's just not that much fun to stand around and watch, you know? And I'd like to stir you up concerning tonight being the one that's in there doing the work and not to be just standing around. Man, I had a job in California one time where I had some chores that I had to do in the morning, and a lot of times the boss would leave and go to do whatever jobs he had to do, and sometimes I'd get done with my chores and he hadn't told me the plan for the day, you know, and I'd get done and I'd be ready to go on and do something. But I had to wait. I had to wait on this guy to come back and so we could go about our business. And I didn't like that. But God, we have the command from God, and there's things going on here in your church. You know, I see that by the announcements. And so every one of us can be busy. We don't have to be waiting. And I'd like to stir you up concerning jumping into the work and being active. All right? Now, America has had her chance. You know, I'm not at all putting down or negating the necessity for people to work here in America, because we certainly do need it. But at the same time, those boys in that last picture, they haven't had the opportunity that you boys have had. And all the young people out here in this community, I'll bet every one of them have heard the name of Jesus Christ. And probably most of them have heard the gospel. But these people, they haven't had the chance that we've had. And the world is opening up, and the harvest is ripe, as God has told us. The harvest is ripe. And God desires to call some people to take his gospel into the harvest. And I want you to ask yourself tonight. Ask God about yourself. Tonight I'd like to ask if I'd like for you to ask yourself, have I ever made myself available to God? Have I ever said, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do." You know, when you think about it, it's so foolish not to do that. Not only is it disobedience, but we miss out on all the blessings and the great life, a life of faith lived for God, and the rewards in heaven. We miss out on that when we make that foolish decision to deny God our lives. And so tonight I'd like you to ask yourself, have you made yourself available to God? Are you seeking his call? First, are you a candidate for God's call? Are you busy about His work now? And then, have you made yourself available and said, "Here am I, Lord, send me"? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You that we've been able to look into Your Word tonight. And I do thank You that You have, that You desire to call from among us some people to go and do Your work. And Lord, I pray that if there's some in here tonight that have not been busy about Your command, that You would convict them of that and show them that they need to change and they need to get busy. And then, Lord, if there's some in here tonight that have never made themselves available to You and said, "Here am I, Lord, send me," that You would show them tonight their need to do that. And I pray that if there's some that haven't, that tonight they would make their lives available to You. Now, if we could, before we close in prayer, I'd like to pray for those that God has spoken to. Is there one in here tonight that God has shown you that you need to be busy about God's command, and you need to get with the program and be serving God and obedient to His command, and you need to make some changes? Is there one in here, would you show me just by lifting your hand that God has spoken to you in that way? Thank you. Amen. Now, if there's one in here tonight that has never made your life available to God, and God has shown you that that's what you need to do, would you say tonight, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I'll go where You want me to go, and I'll do what You want me to do." Would you show me that just by raising your hand? I'd like to pray for you. If there's one in here tonight, amen. Amen. Very good. Very good. Let's have a word of prayer, Pastor. Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You've spoken to hearts tonight. And God, I pray that You would help these to respond to Your Holy Spirit and follow through with the decision that You want them to make. So Lord, we just pray that Your Spirit would continue to work, and we pray for Your blessing on the invitation now. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mueller. Please stand. I want to encourage you. You raised your hand tonight. It may seem like a very simple thing, but that's the way decisions are made, by Word of God being preached and hearts being touched. And a good and proper thing to do is just take that and seal it at an altar of prayer. Just come, get alone, and just say, "God, I'm here, willing to do what You want me to do, and I just want You to know that." That's some of the greatest decisions that's ever been made. It's been simple decisions like that by God's people, young people, older people, and that's the way God would have you to do it. Amen. So tonight, you come in response to the Word of God that's been preached. If there's a need, you've offered yourself to the Lord, you come and seal that tonight as we sing. You come. Just come on. You just come. You come.